I am not ready to leave Resurrection Day, Easter yet. I mean, in some churches, and even at our church at times, we have celebrated Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. We've had a big crowd. We had 139 last Sunday, which was awesome. We've got a better group here today than I expected. Sometimes the Sunday after Easter is low attendance day. Not that we try for low attendance day, but it just kind of happens that way. But I'm really encouraged by how many people are here with us this morning. But a lot of churches, even our church, sometimes we celebrate Easter and then we go on to something else immediately. And I don't want to do that this year because I'm just not through celebrating the resurrection. And so we're going to talk about what Jesus did after the resurrection. Now, some of you may know these things. I learned some things studying for this, and I've been doing it a while. And so, quite possibly, if you're open, you may learn something new about the resurrection of Jesus and his appearances today. Some of you might think, well, I already know all this stuff. Good! Now, explain it to your children, grandchildren, your friends, your family. Share it with other people. Sometimes when I'm preaching, you may think, he's really repeating something. I've already heard this. Is there not anything new under the sun? And I just want to let you know ahead of time, I'm really not preaching to you. I may be preaching to some people in the audience that may not know Jesus. And so I want you to keep that in mind. This morning, though, we are going to look at Jesus' resurrection appearances. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. We have a couple of other passages we're going to look at, but I want to start in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. So the people doing the video and sound are like, where is he going with this? This is not what he told us. I'm on it. Hang on. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke, who also wrote Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he wrote the book of Acts, and he reports about the time of Jesus' resurrection on through the spread of the early church. In the book of Acts, Luke wrote this, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, I'm going to join up with the screen. "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." So what did Jesus do after he rose from the dead and he made appearances to the women and the disciples? He made other appearances. Now, Jesus did not have a publicity firm. He didn't have a public relations team or group or consultants. That's not why Jesus made appearances. Jesus made appearances to primarily show his disciples and his followers that he was indeed alive. The resurrection of Jesus is attested to by hundreds of people. Hundreds of people saw Jesus alive. And I want you to know this morning, and really every morning, that there are good reasons to believe in Jesus. You don't have to turn your brain off to believe in Jesus. You don't have to, some people would say, you know, in order to believe in religion, you have to, you know, turn off your scientific mind. You have to, some people have said that religion is for, you know, not so smart people. I don't appreciate that very much. But there are great reasons to believe in Jesus. And we're going to look at some of the appearances that Jesus made. Jesus made appearances to people to bolster their faith, to increase their faith, so that they would believe in him. Let's face it, folks, people don't come from the dead very often, right? There are more eclipses than there are resurrections by far, right? And so since Jesus rose from the dead and he made these appearances, we ought to check it out. We ought to look into it. We ought to believe. And as I was talking about last Sunday, that since Jesus has resurrected from the dead, since he has risen from the dead, that should change everything. If Jesus is who he said he is, and I believe that he is, every single one of us needs to make a decision about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People don't rise from the dead. If someone rises from the dead, it warrants some research. It warrants some attention. And I believe it warrants faith. And so let's look at some of these resurrection appearances. Briefly, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. And I talked about this passage a little bit last Sunday. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul, who saw himself the resurrected Jesus, Paul, the Apostle Paul, persecuted Christians and the church. Jesus appeared to him directly and blinded him. And so Paul himself, the writer of most of the New Testament, he himself had got to see the resurrected Lord. And this is what he writes about it to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Me is Paul, the Apostle Paul. So let's look at a few things in this passage. So Paul is recounting what he had told the Corinthians when he was with them. Over in that part of the world, there is a great city. There was a great city called Corinth. And Paul had visited there and established a church there and preached the gospel there. And he reminds them in this passage what he told them. You see, Paul's message was the same. His message did not change. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not change. And so what he is telling them here, many years later, is what he told them before. He says, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." And he says this, first of all, that Jesus died. That Jesus died. It says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. So an important aspect to the good news of Jesus Christ or the gospel is that Jesus died. Now, lots of people die, but Jesus was different in that He was the God-man and He died and paid the penalty for our sins. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And Paul affirms here that Jesus died for our sins. That's why He died. He didn't die of old age. He didn't die of a condition at a young age. He wasn't robbed. He didn't die in an accident. He died for our sins. Then it says that He was buried. So you remember from the story, the true story, that Jesus, when He had died on the cross, they took down His body, and a couple of disciples who were actually Pharisees buried Jesus in a tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, According to their normal custom, they put him in the tomb. They rolled the big stone in front so that no one could go in and steal the body, or no one could go in and disturb the body. It was not to keep Jesus in, but it was to seal off the tomb. Jesus came out. He didn't have any trouble with the stone. Hey, if you rise from the dead, you're not going to have trouble with any rocks, okay? Just put that out there. And then I want you to see, so he was buried. And then in verse 4, it also says, and he was raised on the third day. So this is the testimony of Paul. He died for our sins. He was buried. You know, he was fully dead. He was treated as dead. He was placed in a tomb according to the customs. In other words, Paul's saying he was dead. He was really dead. But then also, Paul affirms that he was raised on the third day. He rose from the dead on the third day. Now, I want you to see a special little phrase. And that is, in verse 3 and verse 4, it says, according with the Scriptures. In accordance with the Scriptures. That little phrase is important because the Old Testament prophesied that this is what would happen to the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about Himself, about the Jewish Messiah, the promised one, the one of their hope. He is that Messiah. And all this happened to Him according to the Scriptures. The life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, they are not contrary or against the Scriptures, but they are a fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament tells us who God is and what God's plan is. The New Testament tells us how God fulfilled His promises and His plans. And it tells us that there are other promises and plans that God has for us in the future. And so what happened to Jesus was not just a coincidence, but what happened to Jesus was a fulfillment of the plan of God from times of old. That's important. Paul says this all happened according to the plan of God. This, what happened to Jesus, was the plan of God so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could have a more purposeful and meaningful life here on earth, so that we could have peace with God and a relationship with God, and so that we could have assurance of eternal life at our death. It was the plan of God. It was not just a coincidence or a tragedy. It was the planned purpose of God to save us from our sins. I want you to see another thing, and that is He appeared to a lot of different people. A lot of different people. He didn't appear just to the people that believed in Him. He appeared to all kinds of people, different groups and pairs and individuals and small groups. He appeared to all kinds of different people and groups to show them that He is alive. He is alive, you know. That wasn't just for 1 week. He's still alive. And He is ruling and reigning in heaven right now and preparing to come back for His people. I want you to see what Paul says about the appearances. It says, and that He appeared to Peter, Cephas, which is Peter, and to the 12, which is roughly the 12 disciples. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers. We don't have a specific reference to this appearance, but it most likely happened in Galilee. Jesus told His disciples to go ahead of Him into Galilee, and so it may be that the disciples went, the other disciples went, friends of Jesus went, a lot of different people went to Galilee, and He appeared to all of them at the same time. And Paul recounts 500 of them. And he says most of them are still alive. You know what that means? You could go talk to them if you really wanted to. I mean, some of them are still alive. You could go to Jerusalem. You could go to Israel. They're in Corinth. They're not in Israel. But he says, some of them are still alive. You could go ask them about it. You could go talk to them about it. Now he says, some of them have fallen asleep, like some of you right now. God bless you. I hope you get your rest, all right? Take a good nap tonight. Go to bed early. But when it says they have fallen asleep, that doesn't mean that they took a little nap during the sermon. It means that they died. That was a nice way to say that they had died. You know, we would say, well, he passed away, or she went to be with the Lord. They said, he's fallen asleep. So what Paul is saying there is, some of these people are still alive. You could go and ask them about. They would tell you about the resurrection. They'd sign a statement about the resurrection. But he says some of them have died, but some are still alive. Then he says he appeared to James, and this James is Jesus' half-brother. Then to all the apostles, so the disciples and all the other leaders of the early church. And then last of all, he says, as to one untimely born, that means that that's Paul's way of saying, I don't deserve to be included in this list. Because he persecuted the church of God, he is humbled by that. He says, he appeared also to me. So when Paul's writing the church at Corinth about the resurrection, he is saying, I saw him too. He is alive. So he made appearances. Remember Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? He appeared for 40 days. He made appearances for 40 days. They were not scheduled appearances. This wasn't the work of a publicity company, but this was Jesus proving to those who were skeptical, to those who already believed, that he was indeed alive. I want to spend the last moments talking to you about one of those meetings in particular. Instead of reading the story, we're going to see a video that tells it very well.
I'll tell the story. I remember it like it was yesterday.
You don't even know what you had for lunch yesterday.
I do too. I had... Why don't you tell the story?
All right, I'll tell the story.
Oh, there I hate the way you tell the story. I'll tell the story. So there we were. It was the worst weekend of our life.
Jesus had been crucified.
He'd been placed in the tomb.
And we were all in the upper room, and we were very, very scared.
Oh, very scared and very nervous. Nervous as a pair of long-tailed cats in a room full of rockers.
Now, just to clarify, there were no cats and there were no rocking chairs.
I was speaking metaphorically.
Well, you need to be more clear. I need you to be more clear.
So anyway, it was chaos inside and then there was chaos outside.
And it was Mary, and she was off in the distance, and she was yelling frantically.
Yes, and then the doors bust open, and she's shouting at the top of her lungs, "He's alive! He's alive!" Now, Mary.
Sweet Mary, salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth, that woman. But sometimes she gets...
Well, she just gets a little confused.
Oh, to say the least. I remember I said to you, I bet she went to the wrong tomb.
It was just such chaos, and so we decided that we'd go back to our homes.
Right. Yeah. So we started back home. It's about a 7-mile walk on the road to Emmaus.
And we're walking and talking.
Talking and walking.
Then all of a sudden, this man comes up behind us.
Yes, I remember. He looked at us and he said, why the long faces?
And I looked at him and I said, that's just how we're made. We can't help it. And if you do not like it...
The man was speaking metaphorically.
Well, I needed him just to be clear. He wasn't clear.
We said to him...
I said, are you the only person in Jerusalem that hasn't heard just what has happened?
Right, and I said to him, Jesus had been crucified, we placed him in the tomb, now we can't find his body.
And I went on to say we were just horribly disappointed because we thought Jesus was the one.
And he says, why are your head so thick? Why are your heart so slow?
And I looked at him right in the eye and I said, we're just getting older. We cannot help it. There's nothing we can...
The man was speaking metaphorically.
I just needed him to be clear.
Then he looked at us. And he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and all through the prophets and explained to us how the scriptures said this would happen to the Messiah.
It was wonderful.
It was amazing. We came to a fork in the road.
Just to be clear, it wasn't a literal fork.
We came to a spot where the road divided, and I invited him to join us for dinner. I think he said yes because I told him my wife was making a cobbler.
She makes a great cobbler.
That woman can cobble. So we get here and we sit down for dinner.
And he blessed the meal and he broke the bread.
And then
I looked at you.
And I looked at you.
And we knew.
Our hearts, they were burning inside of us.
We were sitting with the Messiah.
We were sitting at the table with the risen Savior.
And then both of us, we turned to face him, and
he was gone.
Vanished. I never get tired of telling that story.
I may not remember what I had for lunch, but I'll never forget that story.
Tell that story.
Well, aren't you a regular Bobby Fischer?
King me.
Not going to king you.
King me.
Not going to king you.
No, king me.
No, king.
That's a good story.
I'm not going to tell that story.
Add that one to your book. That's a good story.
What, the story of an old man who cheats at checkers to feel better about himself?
You're not clarifying that at all. I just won. Look right there. That's winner right there. That's a good story. That would be the title of the book, The Winner.
You are a winner.
I am a winner.
Look, I'm speaking metaphorically.
Well, why don't you keep
you
me?
You would not understand.
One of my favorite videos of all time. He is talking, of course, about the situation in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, where two of them, it says in verse 13, two of them, and who are them? Well, a lot of people believe that it was Cleopas who was named in this passage, and perhaps his wife. There's a lot of talk in theological circles about who that person was. And some people believe that Cleopas and his wife were returning from Jerusalem. It could be that there was another man. It could have been church idea, tradition has been that it was two men. But it also, there's evidence that it could have been his wife. And they were going to Emmaus, and as they were walking, Jesus joined their group and went with them. And Jesus asked, what are y'all talking about in verse 17? And Cleopas, the one that's named, says in verse 18, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus, you know, baiting them a bit, says, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, the Messiah. So Cleopas and his wife, or his other friend, they were kind of down in the dumps because they had high hopes for Jesus, but they weren't sure that he was the one that they thought he was. And they explained in verse 20, our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. He says, now it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they came, they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him, Jesus, they did not see. And Jesus, they didn't know it was Jesus that had joined them. He says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And look at verse 27. "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I got to stop right there. How did Jesus explain his role and his ministry? He used the Bible. If Jesus uses the Bible, don't you think we should use the Bible as we teach, as we share Jesus, as we grow? We use the Bible. Jesus honored, respected, and believed the Bible. And I say to you, you can too. So, it says they drew near the village that Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's toward the evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, he sat at table with them. He took bread and he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them. And then in verse 31, "And their eyes were opened and they recognized him." Jesus revealed himself to these two men. He had obscured his identity until this point, but at this point, he reveals himself as the risen Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? Think about it. Cleopas and his friend coming home, maybe a bit discouraged, not sure what to believe, and then they have a meal with a stranger, and it turns out the stranger was Jesus himself. Amazing. And then it says, "And he vanished from their sight." Why did he vanish? He's God. He don't have to travel like you and I do. But he vanished. He came and did what he had come to do, and that was to encourage them and to reveal himself to them to build their faith and to build our faith. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Remember, it's nighttime. It's dark. It's 7 miles. But Cleopas and his friend, or Cleopas and his wife, they left right then, despite the conditions, road conditions, the darkness, the potential for robbers. They left right then and headed to Jerusalem because they wanted to tell his disciples that they had seen the resurrected Jesus. Cleopas and his companion were two of the people that Jesus showed that he was alive. Jesus revealed himself to all different kinds of people. Men and women, different writers in the Gospels wrote about the resurrection. There were eyewitnesses that were still alive at this time. And it says, they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So even though they had walked 7 miles, when was the last time you walked 7 miles? I'm not answering that for myself. How many was the last time you made a round trip? 14 miles. One of my least favorite things to do is to turn around and go back. I hate doing that. But I guarantee you the trip from wherever they were back to Jerusalem was much shorter than the trip from Jerusalem to their home. They were so excited because the resurrected Lord had appeared to them. And I want you to notice that Jesus cared about what they knew about him and that they knew that he was alive. He cared about these two men who had doubts, who had concerns, who were feeling disheartened. Jesus cared enough to appear to them. I've done my best this morning to show you that there are lots of passages in the Bible that talk about the resurrection, that Jesus made appearances to all sizes of groups and all kinds of different people. I hope this morning that you believe in the resurrection. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to start an honest search and find out if the resurrection, and here's why. Since Jesus has risen from the dead, it ought to affect your life. If Jesus has risen from the dead, it is worth looking into. And if it's true, believing it and everything else he said. I mean, wouldn't you think? Doesn't it make sense that if Jesus is God, if he rose from the dead, that that would demand that we believe it and that we believe everything that he said? It should change our lives. A lot of people want to ignore it. Hey, I like my life just the way it is. You know, I'm not that bad. I hadn't killed nobody. A lot of people are pretty happy, satisfied where they are, or they don't think that Jesus can satisfy their needs. But I want to tell you this morning that since Jesus is alive, it demands that we look into it. And if everything he says is true, as demonstrated in the resurrection, we ought to believe his word, his teachings, and we should, with God's help, change our lives to applying his teaching. If it's true, and it is true, we should believe and we should order our lives according to his. The resurrection changes everything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.